Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Dr. Don in studio and with Rick on a remote from Camarillo, California. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule today on June 28, 2019, to join us for our Bible study and our study into truth. We've had a wonderful discussion beforehand, and again, there are some times when I wish we would record those and put those in a format where you could listen. But we will get to that in just a moment. I want to call your attention, and I have yet to put the chat room up. I will do that here soon. And you can go there to chime in if you want. What we really would like you to do is to call in with your comments or questions. And you have our number if you're up on the website. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Before we do, let's have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us, even though we are challenged, grant us the surety of the truth. Lower our faith so that as a mustard seed is, so will our faith be, so that we can move mountains. And the mountains that we move are not the physical mountains that people think about, but they are the mountains of ignorance. They are the mountains of believing a lie. And I pray, Father, that you will help us move those mountains out of the way so that we can know and practice the truth. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning.
And Rick, how is Camarillo this morning?
Beautiful.
Wonderful. Now, many times you actually fly up there. I know this time you drove. We are hopeful that today will be a good day for you as it is for us. So tell us what you've got for us.
I was thinking about what I would be discussing today, and then the thought struck me. I've put a lot of pieces on the table. Figuratively speaking, and I wanted to put those together. You remember what I said about what we are, which of course plays into who we are, which then asks why we are and where we are going, where we come from and where we are going. If we were to take everything down to the one thing that matters, the one thing that is what our being is, what would that be? Do you have an idea?
We have a little distraction here. Repeat the question, please.
If, when you think about what we are, we're a human being. What is a human being? Well, we have flesh. We have blood. We have a magnetic field, and we have chemical, electrical processes taking place in our body all the time. Is that what we are?
No.
Yes.
Is that who? Is that who we are?
Oh, I see. No, it is what we are, but it is not who we are. I get the distinction.
So who are we? Yeah, I talked about going to Disneyland for the first time last week. And the Alice in Wonderland ride that I remember quite vividly from my first time there when I was six. And you ride, the vehicle that you are riding in is a caterpillar, shaped like a caterpillar. The caterpillar in the story of Alice in Wonderland is smoking a hookah pipe and is blowing smoke rings and ask the question to Alice, who are you? So who are you? What is it that makes you who you are?
Well, sum total of your experiences and your knowledge base. Also, that is stored in the intellect, which again is basically that magnetic field that you were talking about.
Who you are can be stated in one word. And I gave you a hint. Word is who you are. Think about it. Our consciousness and consciousness awareness, what would it be without words?
Well, it would be a jumble of pictures, probably.
It would be
incoherent.
Would you, if you didn't know one word and you could look out at the world and you would see things, but you would have no idea what they were? You could see them, but you couldn't describe them. You wouldn't know what they were. Is that consciousness?
No. Words describe our existence.
They describe and define. Is it any mystery that John started his writing with, in the beginning was the
Word.
You remember what I suggested, that I believed how God is and how God was and how God will be? Do you remember?
Yes.
And what was that?
Hang on.
God was consciousness and consciousness is word. Consciousness is word. When God created, how are we told that God created everything?
He spoke.
He spoke. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. I don't remember the exact chapter and verse, but I remember the text.
I'll find it in a minute.
The word, in the beginning was the word. It may be that John understood that, and he didn't say, in the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Son. In fact, he doesn't give any form or substance to his description. He just says, word. Word is consciousness. Word of God is truth. Word of God in consciousness of man is God in man. In other words, the truth of what the Son of God was describing when he first talked about the sanctification, that it was the word that sanctified his disciples, it would be their word that had sanctified the disciples, that through then the disciples' word, those at the end of time would be sanctified, and that what that word would do and accomplish is when the word of God is in a human being, then God is in the human being, because God is the word. Before there was anything, there is God. And how God is consciousness awareness in a magnetic field. I believe that if you went all the way back to where all there was God, it would be his consciousness. There's no body or form. There's only consciousness. Now, I know that sounds like New Age. Believe me. And one thing I understand about how the devil works is he takes the truth and dresses it up with lies. He puts a body on the truth that takes the truth out of its true context. So what he did was he said there's consciousness, but that consciousness existed in matter, something material. And that it's not that it's a divine consciousness, but it's not the divine. When we understand that all we are that matters is consciousness. That's all. That's all that matters. And then we understand that statement that the Son of God made right at the end of that very difficult teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He made a very profound statement to his disciples who were still trying to process that, were they supposed to take bites out of him? Or they don't have life in them? I mean, this is just, it has really repulsed them. And he made the statement, the flesh accounts for nothing. So in that statement, he was saying, eating my literal flesh is not going to give you life. But eating what my essence is the only way you will have life in you. And what is his essence? He says it very clearly. It is the Word. The Word is spirit, and the Word is life. Spirit, the Word. Paul incorporates the flesh into the equation. So it's a very clear pattern of what the devil does. The devil takes the truth and then builds lies around it so that the truth is not, so that the truth, that part which is true, becomes dependent upon those parts that are lies. I think the best way I can describe it for now is that's what the devil does with the truth. I had a short conversation with a very devout, quote unquote, born again Christian. And I just, you know, made the observation with him about how God was baptizing the children of Israel when he took them out of Egypt and he led them through the Red Sea. And then the second generation, he led through the Jordan River. And of course, he immediately said, no, the baptism is the death and resurrection, and we have to die to self. And he was giving me the whole Pauline teaching on what that is. And then, of course, he quoted from Luke, who was quoting or misquoting or a quote that never happened, the thief on the cross, who was saved on that very day because of his faith, and saying, now, how can you argue with what's in the Bible? And I left it at that. I figure that there will be a time and a place when those who are very sincere, but sincere in their belief of a false teaching, will be in more of a position to understand the truth when it is presented. So when you take who we are down to what matters, the real who we are, what you will come to is our consciousness awareness. And what that is, plain and simple, is the words that we have put into our intellect. That is how we operate. We go to school to put the words in our intellect that we have access to so that we can use them in our life, in our profession, in our spiritual practices, in our interactions with our family and our home and our community, everything. If you think about it, if there were no words in our intellect, then we would be brain dead. Brain dead. I have taken care of brain dead patients. They do not interact. They have twitchy muscle movements, but it's no more than a reflex. Like when the doctor taps below your kneecap with a little rubber hammer and your lower leg kicks out. So, why am I emphasizing this so much? The Son of God said that words were life or death, period. The words that we choose to allow to stay in our intellect, which will give us not only guidance, but the ability to perform and to say in accordance with the words that are in our intellect. So if they're words of truth, we obey the God of truth because that's what we do. It's what we have allowed and made ourselves become, is that we act in accordance with the words in our intellect. If there's lies in our intellect, then we behave accordingly. And lies do not obey truth. Words of lies do not obey truth. And you think about it, when Lucifer deceived the world, what did he use to deceive them?
Words.
Words. And then he would back those words up with action. So he would say that we were the gods who created you, and then he would show the creation that they made. We are the gods who created this world, and he would show how he could materialize things out of nothing. So in other words, he's performing miracles to confirm the words he's saying. But the miracles are nothing more than smoke and mirrors. They're not real. When the Son of God came here, he spoke the truth. And how did he back up the words of truth? With visual evidence.
Yeah, visual aids.
It wasn't smoke and mirrors. And he told the religious leaders who kept condemning him on every move that he made, he said, well, if you don't want to believe my word, at least believe on account of the wonders that I've been doing, that what I am saying is the truth. So words are primary, and then signs and wonders can be used to support the word. But things are becoming so difficult now. With you've heard of deep fake, right? They have deep fake videos. They can actually produce an image on a computer screen that looks identical to someone's likeness. And they can make that image speak and say things that that person whose image they have represented would never say. But they have them say it, and unless you know how to determine whether what you're watching is a deep fake or the real thing, you would be inclined to say, well, I never thought they would say that. Or they could say something that would be incriminating. And then, of course, you know, the people would want them to be arrested. So signs and wonders can be used to support lies, which of course brings us down to the bottom line. You either believe the truth because you know it to be true, or you believe the lies because you want it to be true. One of my favorite parts in the Bible, sections, of course, John is incredibly loaded with information. And this is just before the Son of God washed his disciples' feet that day that they had the quote-unquote Last Supper. And in my Bible, it's called Conclusion, the Unbelief of the Jews. And it is John chapter 12, which again is a chapter that's loaded with information, starting with verse 37. Though they had been present when he gave so many signs, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah. Lord, who could believe what we have heard said? And to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Indeed, they were unable to believe because, as Isaiah says again, he has blinded their eyes, he has hardened their heart for fear they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn to me for healing. Isaiah said this when he saw his glory and his words referred to Jesus. And yet, there were many who did believe in him, even among the leading expelled from the synagogue. They put honor from men before the honor that comes from God. Jesus declared publicly, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. He starts out, whoever believes in me. That's an open statement. Whoever believes in me. And if you would ask any Christian a question about whether they believed in the Son of God or not, they would all say, definitely, I believe in the Son of God.
But the question then has to be asked, Rick, believe what?
Well, that's why he goes on when he says, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in the one who sent me. And most Christians would also agree with that, that they believe in the God, the Father. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. Well, we can't see him physically like they did back then when he's saying this. So what he's saying is that the seeing is not the important thing.
Well, Rick,
it's
seeing
not
with
the
what?
Saving thing.
Seeing with what?
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So
you see
how
the expression, Rick. The seeing is believing, and you'll hear people say that. If I see it with my own eyes, then I will believe it. But what is Jesus talking? What is the seeing here? What is the seeing?
Well,
is it
what I'm? He's talking about seeing how he has behaved.
Exactly.
You've seen
and
what I've done. Yes. It's not his form. He's not talking about my face and his face look exactly alike. We're like twins. You know, he's not saying. He's saying how you have seen me behave is how the Father behaves. Then he says, I, the light. Would there be anything, when he says, I, the light, would he acknowledge that there were other lights in the world? In other words, when he came to the world, he was the light, but there are other lights in the world, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So who were they? John the Baptist?
Counterfeit.
No, I'm talking about light. I'm not talking about counterfeit. I'm talking about light. He says, I, the light. So was he the only light when he came to the world? Or were there others like him who were the light?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No.
No, he was it.
He was it.
So how is it that people believe that the world no longer is in complete darkness, that only Christians have the light, and they are the light to the whole world? In fact, there's one particular church who espouses this quite openly. But he says, I, the light, have come into the world so that whoever believes in me. He doesn't say all those.
He doesn't say everyone.
Say everyone. He makes this individual who he is not, this is not a plural statement, this is a singular statement, whoever. So he's including everybody, but he's making it individual. Each one is accountable for what he is, as he goes on to say, each one is accountable for themselves. Whoever, if you want to have life, then this is what you must do, not what group you must join, what nation you must be with, what religion you have to be practicing. He is speaking. He is the light. And whoever acknowledges that and learns, that individual will have life. So that's another important point I wanted to confirm here. So that whoever believes in me need not stay in the dark anymore. So we all are in the dark. And that's how we start out. And whether we stay in the dark or whether we don't stay in the dark depends on us. It depends on you. You determine whether you stay in the dark or not. Your church, your pastor, your religious teacher, your religious belief, whomever, they don't determine whether you stay in the dark or go into the light. You do. You have to make the decision. And the first thing that you have to realize and acknowledge is you are in the dark. And if you are in the dark, you are not with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They will come to you and they will lead you out of the dark if you will listen to their instructions, which show you the way out of the dark. And here it is. Now he's going to tell us. If anyone, there's another one, anyone hears my words and does not keep them, that's obey them, follow them, do them, however you want to put it, faithfully. It is not I who shall condemn him, since I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
And by the way, we see that in John 3. We see that in John 3:17.
Yes.
It is John.
What, see.
John 12:46-47.
See, the what most people believe is from this statement when he says, "I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world." Well, yeah, of course, he died and he rose again so he could save the world. But that's not what he's saying. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world. Why? Because he came to show the world how not to be condemned. So he showed the world what they needed to do so that when the judgment came, they would not be condemned. And he goes on and makes that clear. He who rejects me, so he who rejects me is condemned, and refuses my words has his judge or judgment already. We determine our judgment. And how is that? How can we determine our judgment? I thought God was the one who determined our judgment.
We determine our judgment and we condemn ourselves by the words that we believe, because those words become us.
Exactly. The words in our intellect, if they are the lying words of the evil one, we have chosen condemnation. If we hear the words of life, the words of truth, the words of the Father as given to us by his Son, as preserved for us by God because two of his disciples wrote them down, if we say, well, those words don't matter anymore because we're under grace. Those words don't matter anymore because they were for the Jews. Those words don't matter for me because I am a born-again Christian. Then you have accepted the lies the evil one has cleverly convinced you with. Well, because it's what we want. I mean, you listen to the party of the left, and you know what they're saying are lies. They're promising lies. But how are they doing this? They're telling you that you can have everything that you want and that it's fine to break the law. In fact, breaking the law makes you a better person. That you get this and you get that and you get the other thing and you don't have to pay for it and it doesn't cost you anything. You get it as a birthright. That's what the devil does. That's how he operates. He promises you what he can't deliver. He knows he can't deliver it, but he knows that if he promises it to you and then tells lies to back it up, that you'll accept it because it's what you want, or at least what you think you want. But do these people who are promised all these things ever get what they're promised?
Never.
No, they don't. They don't get what they're promised. But see, that's not the point. Because do you know what the point is? Do you know why the party on the left promises everything and delivers nothing? Do you know why? Because it gives them control.
I was just about to say power.
That's what the devil wants. The devil wants control, and he knows that he can control you if you are constantly believing that you're going to get what he is promising. But he can't deliver on it. You've heard about selling your soul to the devil? Well, he will give you what you your heart's desire. And you may have what he has promised, but it always comes at a high price. You can look at several big stars in the music business that are no longer with us, left through death way before their time. Promises, promises, promises. And they lived a tortured life and died a tortured death The devil is there to offer you whatever you want if you're willing to pay the price. But the price is always eternal death. Always. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. The word itself. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. You say, well, I believe his word through his apostle Paul. Well, how do you know that the words that Paul spoke were the words of the Son of God? And when you look at the context of what he's saying here, the words that he has spoken, he's talking about the words that he has already spoken, not the words he's going to say in the future from heaven. In fact, he doesn't even say that he's going to say anything more when he goes back to the Father. He says, I'm sending you another helper who will be with you, and they will guide you and lead you into all truth through the words of his disciples. He makes that clear. Yes.
And we've gone through this a couple of times in recent past. People will say, well, God would never allow an untruth to be in his Bible. But you see, it is so, that is so, such a cop-out.
Well, that's like saying
when you look at what
that
you,
the Talmud
what you look at,
is God's word. That's like saying the Talmud is God's word. When the Talmud
right.
is just an interpretation, an explanation by the priests of the law.
Right.
So if you want to say that the Talmud is also God's word, then, you know, fine. You can believe whatever you want. And like I said, most people believe what they want because they want to believe it. And the truth then suffers. The truth doesn't have any power with them because they're refusing the truth. The word, and this is going on in verse 48, the word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For what I have spoken. Now remember, I said, this is the last, this is what, he's not teaching anymore. He, right after this, he washes the disciples' feet. For what I have spoken does not come from myself. No, what I was to say, what I had to speak was commanded by the Father who sent me. And I know that his commands mean eternal life. And therefore, what the Father has told me is what I speak. All of that is in past tense. He doesn't say, and what the Father will tell me in the future, I will make known to you. He came, he told the truth. He told the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And there wasn't more truth to come because he'd already told it all. But like I said, people believe what they want to believe because they want to believe it. It offers them something that is more appealing The problem is the lies of the devil are seemingly more appealing. But
there is a word that describes
at a high cost.
Right, and there is a word that describes that. People are looking for solace, a refuge from the storm. They are looking for something that they cannot provide for themselves. And when it is easy, they can see it. When it is hard, they cannot.
A person is looking for an easier way to salvation and eternal life than the one way that the Son of God presented. And he talked about the two ways. He talked about the narrow way and the gate at the start of the narrow way is hard to find. Few find it. The way that leads to destruction is wide and easy and accommodating. It accommodates whatever preference that the people on that way have. And they all believe fervently, strongly, completely that they are all on the way to the kingdom. Well, yes, but the kingdom they're headed for is the kingdom of the world. And the kingdom of the world, when it is defeated by the kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom in the heavens, that kingdom will be completely destroyed by fire. All humans, but because the flesh is only a support system for the consciousness. All of the consciousnesses that are not integrated with God's consciousness will be destroyed by fire. And I'm talking about the devil, all of those who joined him in the insurrection, all of those who have willingly chosen to believe the lies and to practice the lies that the devil has promulgated, all the consciousnesses of those beings and people will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and the universe will be cleansed of all impurity by that.
Sort of thought here. You just made a point a few minutes ago about Jesus is talking about things in the past. In the past tense, he did this, he did this, he did this. And in recent times, one of my favorite texts is John 19:30. And I tell people they can remember that. Just think of an old car, 19:30. And that's a powerful text because he's hanging on the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished," bowed his head and died. And many weeks ago, you specifically asked me, Don, what was finished? Well, if he died for the sins of the world, he wasn't dead yet. Right there, it really cuts into dying for the sins of the world, because before he died, his work was finished. And you made a beautiful point.
And he hadn't been
about
resurrected yet either.
Exactly. That is, I had two good-looking guys come up to my door sometime back. You know, they're dressed nice, and they knock on your door. And
they have pocket protectors?
Yeah, not those guys.
Not
the other guys.
And name badges.
Yeah, but not those guys. This was the other guys.
Oh, the other guys,
and,
okay.
And I brought up this text, and they said, man, that's not in the Bible. And I was kind of impaired there because I couldn't quote it. So after that, I looked it up, and this is how I remember. John 19:30. Just think of an old car, 19:30. And, man, these guys took offense to that. And I said, listen, guys, don't come here and try to talk to me because these are words of Jesus. And he cried out, it is finished, bowed his head and died. So his work was done before he died. It's right there. And it's amazing how people will argue with something that's that simple and straightforward. I've taken this up with some of these great born-again Christians, some of these that we sat next to all the years of our life in church. And I've had them look at me, and of course, my name all through my life was Donnie. They look at me and say, Donnie, you are not interpreting that correctly. I said, well, I can read. That's what Jesus said. So I just wanted to insert that. Jesus' work was done before he died. He said it himself.
And he says in Laodicea, the message to the assembly in Laodicea, that he who overcomes, and again, he makes it a singular. He doesn't say those who overcome. He says, he who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as my Father granted me to sit with him on his throne.
That's Revelation 3:21.
So the overcoming, what is it that he is referring to when he says overcome? You know, most people think it's the world. But he didn't overcome the world per se. He overcame the kingdom of the world. And how does one overcome the kingdom of the world? Only one way. By learning, living, performing the truth. The truth is the word we need to have in our intellect so that we will have the word of God in our intellect. And when we have the word of God in our intellect, it is the word that John talked about, who was from the very beginning.
And Rick, the word, you know, that word, that word is the very God.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It is
the word is the consciousness
God.
That is God. The Son of God was saying, if my word finds a home in you, then I will find, that is how I find my home in you, is that it is the word that I've spoken. All he is at his essence is the Word, as the Father is the Word, as the Holy Spirit is the Word. It is the Word. These words that he spoke, the truth that must be in our intellect if we want to be with him, period. That's the only thing that we can do. That's simply. That's it. When the man and the woman in the garden were there, what did they have in their intellect? They had the word of God. And what did they do? They acted against the word of God. And that's what sin is. So if the words in you are against the word of truth, then they're against the word of God.
Absolutely. And they knew what they were doing, and that's the issue. So thank you, Rick. I encourage our listeners to join us tomorrow for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. See you tomorrow and have a great day.